Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
With 70 seconds separating these teams from another overtime. Hasn't happened yet, though. Here's one thrown by Prolique that's blocked away by Rask. Help to the back. Oduya shot deflected. Scramble. They score! Bowman! 3-2 with less than a minute to go. Two goals in 17 seconds from a 2-1 deficit, a 3-2 lead.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Green, meanwhile, it's played along to him. Centering pass, flagged down by Green, played into traffic, though. Starting back up with it now is Martinez in a 3-on-2. Clifford gave it across. It's held in a shot. Save. Rebound. Martinez.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Monday afternoon.
What is happening?
A whole lot, man. A whole lot. The leaves are falling. Weather's changing.
You doing okay?
I just see the leaves in my screen. That's,
you doing all right over there?
I'm doing okay.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need Dallas to cover 7.5-point spread tonight, and I win $150.
There you go. There you go. That's a nice little weekend right there.
Nice little teaser bet.
Nice little teaser. Yeah, losing the game sevens hurt, man. That they sting a little bit. Sting the nostrils. You're close.
Oh, that's why you're asking.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
The whole, you know.
Well, you know, I said this to the wife last night because she asked me the exact same thing when I walked out after the final out. And I said, you know, the beauty of being a Braves fan is this has been largely my entire life of never coming through in the biggest of moment. And to be honest, I don't even know how they went up 3-1 in that series because that lineup is a cheat code and we don't have any pitching. So to even get to game seven was almost a gift.
You take the moral victory out of the series just to be there, to be that close. Surprised a lot of people with the run, I think. Not many people saw that coming, the way they were able to really dominate the Marlins. It got through the Reds, 3-1 series lead. I've always wondered, too, like when you get to a serious moment like that, it's like the old debate about in a big game, would you rather lose close or lose in a blowout? Because there's differing emotions to both of them. If you lose in like a sweep in a series like that, it's just like, whatever. And you just kind of throw it in. But when you get all the way to a game seven, I think you allow yourself to go to a place mentally where you can envision the win taking place, especially when you're up 3-1 in the series. Like you can go there like, all right, I could see this happening. And then it doesn't follow through. And it's just it's an even more of a twist of the knife, man. It was tough.
Well, I can answer that question. First of all, I never went there.
You never went there?
I did not.
Up 3-1 with 3 to go?
No, because every single time, I think I said this to a friend I was watching the game with last night, until they got to about the 7th or 8th hitter in their lineup, every single at-bat for the Dodgers to me was like, oh, this could be a home run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter what the circumstances were. Corey Seager is the example of this, right? Like, 5 homers in the series and 20 RBIs or whatever he had. It's a cheat code of a lineup. Now, it was great to start 3-1, but I also knew that they were capable of winning that series because, again, I'm a Braves fan. I've seen this before. And to answer your original question, I would almost always rather be heartbreak by close loss than heartbreak being by killed in elimination.
Yeah,
night.
Being blown out in the last game.
I saw it last year.
You did.
The Cardinals scored like 12 runs in the first inning of that game five. And you just knew it was over. Yeah, it was like, okay, now we have 8 more innings till this thing's wrapped up, but it's a done deal. At least last night, they were toying with the notion of maybe getting some, how the hell did they do that win up 3-2? But then the base runner blunder basically, that put the nail in the coffin for me. I was like, they're not winning this. You can't win a series and have a double play in a moment where neither of these morons should have ever left their base.
Yeah.
When that happened, I just was like, yeah, they're not doing this.
Yeah, I'm glad Swigart's not here today because he would be probably pumping his fist and celebrating, but it should be pointed out, and we have the receipts for it, he gave up on this series when it was 3-1.
100%.
He threw the towel completely in and had already conceded defeat to you on your bet because the loser was going to make the other one dinner. He had conceded it, asked you what you wanted on your menu.
Yep.
So before, just remember that when Swigart returns tomorrow, that he gave up on this series at 3-1 and he had no faith in his team. I went there twice with the Braves when they got.
Oh, it's a mistake by you there.
Well, I mean, I'm not as emotionally invested as you. Like when they went up in Game Five and May couldn't find the strike zone, he got off to a bad start. They were up 2-0 in the third inning, and it was both of them were base running miscues. But if they don't have that miscue in the third inning and get the double play where Ozuna doesn't realize that Betts catches the ball, if he just tags up, he's safe in that situation. There's no need to be 2 feet off the bag and then go. That was one of the worst mistakes I've seen. And if he stands there, it's 3-0. The inning continues. All of a sudden, the rally and the momentum is on your side. They don't end up scoring. The Dodgers get back into the game. They take the lead in the sixth inning with the home run, and everything was different. And the same thing last night. The base running issues, the Braves built a lot of confidence in me because they kept getting out of jams early on. I was waiting for one of those big hits from the Dodgers just to break it open and be like, oh, God, here we go. And they kept getting out of it.
Yeah.
You get a double play, you get a strikeout with the bases loaded. You're like, okay, maybe they got it tonight. But to have the base running miscue where you hit a ground ball to the third baseman and the guy goes home, first off, what are you doing? Second, if you get into a rundown situation there, you take some time and the other guy, Riley, was on second, go to third. That guy's going to be out. He's stuck in a rundown between third and home. Why are you standing halfway between? That is elementary school base running. And if you get in that situation where you're in a rundown, you almost have the opportunity to get guys on second and third then with two outs if the guy that hit the ground ball is hustling out of the bag. But he ended up getting tagged out. Riley got caught in between, then tried to go to third, double play ending over. That was a backbreaking play and a terrible mistake in that moment.
Well, we don't have any plate discipline. The Braves are one of the more less at plate, at bat disciplined teams I've ever watched. I mean, they'll swing at the first three pitches because they want to go yard.
You go flail.
They don't necessarily think of situational hitting very well. It's kind of a boomer bust type team. Like even Acuna, who I freaking love Ronald Acuna, but
he had a rough series.
Every moment where he could have done, and he had a decent showing at times, but every big moment in some of the games they lost, it was just he was swinging for the fences and nothing else. Yeah. What are you doing?
Just put the ball in play, man.
Pitching, their bullpen completely fell apart. The starting pitching, they just didn't have enough horses in the stable. And, base running. What the hell is Ron Washington doing at third? Is he just enjoying being on a team, or is he actually coaching and telling these guys what you're doing? Let alone the fact that I never even played past high school. You just know not to run immediately on contact with zero out and you're on third. You're supposed to play that out a little bit. And Dansby Swanson's just running into home it's just two outs and you kind of have to.
Yeah, if it gets past the pitcher's mound, I think you can go. And the Braves actually had an incredible out on a play similar. They drew the infield in. Albies had a tough bounce off of the mound. And he caught it and threw the guy out. That was a tremendous play, and I think a good base running decision because you force them to make a play like that. But if the only situation you don't go on a ground ball in contact is if it's hit right at the third baseman or right back at the pitcher. And that was it right at the third baseman, and he decided to go.
Now, let me get back to the original point. It's not about the Braves lost. Nobody listening is surprised. If you've ever watched the Braves, it's kind of who they've been. They won 15 division titles. They won one World Series.
Hey, you got one, baby. You got one.
It sums them up.
You got one.
Jason Swigart
He twofold had attitude problems during the start of this series.
Oh, it totally did.
The start, when they were down 2-0 in the series.
Yeah, he was a bummer Swigard.
He was kind of a little bitch. Yeah. I mean, he sat behind the glass and he just didn't interact.
I understand.
I'm in a bad mood. He didn't talk to anybody. When they were down 3-1, he quite literally walked in the studio right before the show and asked me what he wanted, what I wanted in the winning bet.
Yeah.
I said, the series isn't over. He goes, come on. They can't hit the ball. And I thought about, he's done this twice in 1 year. He did this with the Blazers. In November last year, he said he was never watching a Blazer game again, and he quit after 2 months because they suddenly started winning a couple games.
He's too emotional of a fan.
He is way too emotional as a sports fan.
You got to take a deep breath, man.
He can't handle it, and he projects what happens negatively in his sports life into the work life. When they were down 3-1, he was not fun to be around.
Not only did he give up on the series, he didn't even finish game five, or what it had been, game four. He, in game four, it was like the seventh inning, and he was like, I'm out. And he went for a run. He texted us. He was just done watching the game. Like, dude, your team's in the NLCS. I don't think they're coming back tonight, but you never know.
Right.
Crazier things have happened. You don't get to watch your team in the NLCS every year. Don't be spoiled just because they've gone on runs every year that you're just going to throw in the towel and give up in a situation like that. The most ironic part about his fandom, too, is of all the teams that should be given up on, he has not yet given up on.
He refuses to
give
up on
the Cowboys. Of all of his fandoms, if there was a team, if you root for the Blazers, the Dodgers, and the Cowboys, at least the Blazers have been like a cute little underdog story, or that you got Dame and they play hard. Like, there are some aspects there. The Dodgers are in the damn World Series every year, it feels like, even though they're the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, the Cowboys are the one situation where it's terrible management. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They won't extend quarterbacks. They can't pull their head out of their ass, and he sticks by them through and through.
Well, here's the saving grace for him on the Cowboys versus, you mentioned, like, the Blazers. The Blazers have won one championship in his life. He's, I think, watched his team win all five of them.
Because
he's a bandwagon Staubach fan.
Sure.
Because he was a kid when Staubach was the QB.
Yeah.
And then he stuck with them, had the nice little 90s run.
The 90s run, yeah.
And then since the 90s run, they've done almost nothing of really anything significant or relevant outside of, are they going to win the Super Bowl this year before
this
the season starts?
Year.
And then Joe's learned this his entire life. No, they're not. Nope. They're going to suck and not be very good.
Not going to happen.
But that would be his reasoning of why he wouldn't abandon the fandom. He's at least seen that franchise win five versus he has only seen the Blazers win one. He's seen the Dodgers, I think, win a couple.
Yeah, they won a few in the 80s.
That's kind of the reasoning. But I'm with you. Like, of all the things that upset him in sports, the Dodgers seem to be number one. And it's like, you get that upset because your team gets you to the World Series every year. The Blazers, I mean, he gives up on them 10 games into the season. And yet the Cowboys continue to be the Cowboys. And he'll follow them all year long, bitch about them, but still maintain the loyalty.
I will say this, and I know it hurt you as a Braves fan last night. You're doing a good job overcoming it. I get that you're used to the disappointment, but they went on a great run and were a few plays away from going to the World Series. I will say this, just from a baseball angle, it's not easy to cut through football season noise like this time of year.
Sure.
And to play a game seven on a Saturday against Alabama, Georgia, and a game seven on Sunday against Sunday Night Football that maybe some weren't interested, but like 20 million people watch every Sunday. The game sevens were incredible.
The Tampa
Houston game was great. Yep. It came down to the last out, and you're wondering, you know, can Houston pull this off? There was a lot of drama in the ninth inning. And then last night, I mean, that was a great back and forth game. Early runs, Dodgers tie it, Braves take the lead. It was just a great back and forth game. Bellinger hits the go-ahead home run. What was it, in the seventh or eighth inning, whatever it was. And it was a great back and forth game. So both game sevens were fantastic. And I think if you're going to find a way to get eyeballs and to try and cut through college football in the NFL, that was a great start. And I hope that it translates to a fun and exciting World Series.
Well, we got a good show. We'll get to a lot of NFL and some college football stuff today. But I actually wanted to start with baseball. We don't do it a whole lot, but I really want honest feedback here. Are you following the Major League Baseball playoffs? Are you watching all of these games? As you mentioned, they're competing sometimes against Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Saturday Night Primetime, Georgia, Alabama, which that second half of that game sucked.
Are you following?
I think baseball has done an incredible job in the postseason, and we had two spectacular Game 7s for very similar reasons and then also very different reasons. So we'll start there. You can let us know, are you watching Major League Baseball right now? 503-250-1080. We'll start there, and then we'll go to Kansas City for the Daily Ticker. They have a 2 o'clock game against the Buffalo Bills, which is going to be quite exciting for us because we'll still be on the air for an hour of that game. And then we'll go there for the Ticker, the NFL Whip Round at 1. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Very untraditional, like here on sports radio, as you open a Monday after NFL and college football and you talk baseball. But, you know, you said it. I tweeted this on Saturday after the Rays game 7. They went to the ninth inning in a 2-run game with the most hated team in pro sports on the brink of elimination, who are also going for the second or tied for first greatest comeback we've ever seen in baseball history.
It's only happened one other time, coming back from 3-0.
And so I there was a lot of intrigue for me, and you got a couple runners on base. Like it boiled down to exactly what you'd ask for, I think, as a sports fan. And the other element is the other game 7, very similar, up 3-1, the Braves were. They blew the lead. You go to game 7, and not till the 7th inning till one team breaks the tie, and it's Cody Bellinger, a former MVP, who's currently batting 6th in lineup because of struggles this year.
And then he, like, dislocated his elbow on the celebration, which was a whole other wild storyline.
I'm glad he's okay, but I kind of took some joy in that. I'm like, yeah, screw you.
What is he doing? What are you doing there? Calm down, buddy. Take a deep breath.
But, you know, both game 7s, both fantastic, both down to the wire, both involving drastically different storylines, drastically different, you know, star power. Houston got the more recognizable stars, and Tampa's this small, you know, payroll that just seemingly does this year in and year out. And they, can they finally get through and go back to the World Series? Atlanta, long standard tradition in the 90s and the early 2000s of winning, but never quite getting through except the one time. But now they're this young team mixed with an MVP guy and himself and Freddie Freeman against one of the highest payrolls, if not the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, and the LA Dodgers, who have gotten oh so close, but can't capitalize. I thought it was fantastic. And I don't know what people's viewing habits are. I don't want to dive into TV ratings. I just want to know from listeners, has it intrigued you to enough where you're changing the channel, you're watching baseball? I had dual screens last Monday when the Herbert Charger game was on.
Hey, you have to, man.
Saturday night, once Bama got rolling, that second half sucked to that game. And yesterday, even during Sunday Night Football, I had a spring line pick on that one. I largely just followed it on my phone, and I had the Braves on the big screen. So I think baseball's done a really good job with their postseason, and I want to know if it's captured anybody out there.
Yeah, I think it has. I think if you're a sports fan, it's hard to not be captivated by what's going on. The ratings thing, you're right, it's a tired conversation. I do think maybe once we get past the point of having every other sport go on and it's just football, maybe we can dive into it, because there have been some studies done about why people aren't watching as much sports, because there was a research poll that was done that showed just how drastically basically everything is down this year. And I think it's kind of a fascinating conversation of why the ratings are so far down from where they've been in every single sport in years past. But when you have not only the game sevens, but I think series that initially looked like they were over, you know, I kind of gave up on the ALCS when it was 3-0, the Astros were this, you know, kind of out of nowhere, under 500 team. Like, people didn't think they should even be in the playoffs. And they were this, you know, villain that I think was a good story for baseball. Down 3-0, though, against Tampa, they weren't going to make that a series. Next thing you know, you look up and there's a game 7. I had the same vibe in the NLCS. And I know you and other Braves fans who've texted in didn't quite have that same feeling. But it felt like it was another year that the Dodgers were going to knock on the door, not be able to kick it down. And Kershaw loses again. And here we go. They're one win away. And they had their chances to try and eliminate LA. But a 3-1 series lead and a 3-0 series lead, it felt like they were both over. And I think it was great for the game to have both those series come back in the other direction to give you compelling stuff to continue to watch. And then add on top of that the fact that you get a couple of game sevens that go down to the wire and are compelling to the ninth inning. That's just hard to beat. And I think you now get a World Series, as much as I will be rooting against LA, that I think creates a wonderful dichotomy of storylines, right? You got East Coast versus West Coast. You have a team with a $240 million payroll and a team with a $75 million payroll. Andrew Friedman, who's the general manager of the Dodgers, was groomed and brought up by the Rays, but they, of course, can't afford him when LA's going to pay him what they want to pay him. So you lose him, and they've now had to replace, it feels like, multiple GMs every year because they don't have the money to keep those kind of guys around. It is a true, in my opinion, David versus Goliath kind of story. And on top of that, you have the fact that the Dodgers have now been there three of the last 4 years, and they haven't won.
Oh, man, if they don't win this one.
So, like, it's looming. Like, that, like, you're into Buffalo Bills category. If you lose another World Series for being as good as they've been for as long as they've been and still not able to win, and this time it wouldn't be a cheating scandal, and it wouldn't be the mighty Boston Red Sox. It would be the $70 million payroll Tampa Bay Rays that knocked you off. Like, I think all those storylines create for a truly fun and exciting opportunity here in the World Series. Great pitching, great lineups. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, somebody says MLB postseason has been more fun than any sport so far for them. And, you know, I don't know. I think NBA basketball playoffs were pretty damn good. I know the finals kind of were a stinker for most people, but leading into it, that was one of the best playoffs I've ever seen in my life. But I don't know if that listener's wrong either. Like, Major League Baseball's had a great postseason run so far.
And playoffs in general, no matter what sport, are great. But I feel like MLB and NHL both kind of fall into this category that once playoffs start, things ratchet up immensely and people remember how much they love these games. It's much more intense. And on, like, MLB, you're hanging on every pitch, every at-bat. Like, that Cody Bellinger at-bat last night.
That was an incredible.
You were just
at-bat.
Sitting there waiting for something to happen. You almost felt like something was going to happen, and sure enough, hits the bomb, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go. And that's what happens in NHL, MLB. Again, all playoffs are great, but I feel like those two sports fall in this category where everybody kind of tunes out during the regular season. But once playoffs starts up, everybody has their eyes on them.
It's a regional sport, so unless you, like, Dirt is an obsessive Giants fan, right? So if the Giants are really good, Dirt's watching every game and then watching it again. But if they suck, where's the attention going a little bit? It starts to go to look some football or maybe some NBA basketball, whatever the time of the year is usually. I think there's some validity to that because they do well regionally with people watching. But come postseason, the general sports fan, there is that intensity with baseball where every single pitch you're glued to. You can't miss it. You try to time it in between folding laundry. I'll grab a sock. I'll look for the other sock, and I'll be thinking in my head, okay, the pitch is coming, and I'll turn up and right before the pitcher throws the pitch because I don't want to miss anything.
Right. I think the edge of the seat thing is valid for baseball and hockey, and I think you also get – I think the NBA is true in this sense, too. When you have longer regular seasons to the point that the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball do, it can feel mundane. It could feel meaningless at times. And I think when you get to a postseason situation, the intensity is so much greater than it would be in game 47 of the regular season that you would see in those kind of sports that you're not really paying attention to. It's like, oh, so-and-so won it. All right, whatever. Unless it's your team that's involved. But the intensity ratchets up to such a high level that I think it's incredibly compelling. And having that, you know, it feels like 4 hour roller coaster of emotions or just heart attack sitting on the edge of your seat. It's really tough to duplicate. And I think when you get a chance to have series that then take that intensity and turn into great series and great games, it's a cherry on top for Major League Baseball.
Well, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, and we'll go to the ticker here in just a second and transition into some football. I had multiple times during both game sevens where I kind of took myself mentally in the, imagine having this in our city, a game seven in an LCS situation. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if the team, if we ever had one in Portland, would be more Rays-like, small market, small payroll, or would the ownership group, whoever that is, would they spend on it?
It'd be big spenders.
But having that moment, that feeling of like, oh my God. And then you go into, as you mentioned, 4 hours of, either you get a blowout or it's a back and forth right down to the final top or bottom half of the inning. And you're
clenching your cheeks every time there's like a ground ball. You're like, God, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. You're freaking out, man. I will say lastly, too, I think it has helped tremendously. You didn't get it in the American League, but you did the National League, and you'll get it here in the World Series. Having the fan ambiance, I think, has been a big part of it as well.
I give it to them. Last night, they really, you could hear those 11,000 people, man.
Braves fans were making, I heard a couple of tomahawk chops. I thought that we banned that, but what the hell, man? We're, you know, it's a weird year. I heard the Braves, you know, or the Dodger chants when their team would get in a rally. Yeah. Like, just having that kind of environment with the created ambiance, I thought added to it as well.
So two game sevens over the weekend, your World Series matchup, it starts tomorrow, Tampa Bay The David and the Goliath is the LA Dodgers getting back to yet another World Series. Can they finally capitalize on that one?
somebody said it's a great tweet, too. I forgot to mention it, saying one of these cities is going to end their title drought. For LA, it's been 7 days. For Tampa, it's been 17. These markets have long suffering.
I didn't even think about that.
Because the Lightning just won the Stanley Cup final and the Lakers just won the NBA finals.
Who's going to be more insufferable, Tampa Bay fan or LA fan?
Oh, it's undoubtedly LA fan.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, well, we got a football game today at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I can't believe it either. And it's a pretty damn good one. It's Buffalo, who got their ass kicked by Tennessee. They are taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, who also got their ass kicked by the Las Vegas Raiders last week. They'll kick off at 2, but first we'll talk about that matchup and what to expect with Le'Veon Bell with Alex Gold of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. We'll do it next on the Daily Ticker, but first, Joe with a sports update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's not what you always plan for, but damn it, I'll take it, and I'm pretty excited. You've got Kansas City against Buffalo, two teams that did not look the part a week ago in their last matchup, Buffalo against Tennessee and KC against Vegas. And so 2-4-1 squads will take on each other today at 2 o'clock our time on Fox here. And to talk about that matchup in a little Kansas City is Alex Gold of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, KCSP on Twitter, at Alex Gold. And he joins us now for the Daily Ticker. Alex, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. I want to start just, what did you make of last week? Like, how did you put that into words on your radio show of what you saw them do against the Raiders at home?
Yeah, it was one of those shocking results for sure. I mean, this was an opening stretch of the season. A lot of Chiefs fans probably would have told you, yeah, you get out of it 5-1, but most people would have assumed that loss was coming to Baltimore. That loss was coming, tonight or that Thursday night game against the Buffalo Bills. And so what was really stunning was a defense here in Kansas City, guys, that had played so well and played like a top-5 defense. And then they go and have Derek Carr come out there and hit him deep, something that the Chiefs even admitted they hadn't seen on tape. I mean, Derek Carr, depending on where everybody's perspective is on him, he's not exactly known as someone that can beat you deep. And to their credit, the Chiefs defense got burned, and it was a lack of pass rush, which is, and we'll talk about tonight's game here in a second, but that was the biggest issue, was the Chiefs had zero pass rush whatsoever. Derek Carr had all day, and it was certainly a surprising result.
Yeah, and then you get the twist in between that game and tonight's game of signing Le'Veon Bell. So just two parts. One, your thoughts on the signing and how he fits with Hilaire, who's been a great rookie so far. How do you think they're going to use him? And then I haven't seen anything. Is he supposed to play tonight? What's the status on that?
So due to this weird 2020 and COVID protocols and everything, Bell can't even play if they wanted him to. He's got to, I guess, go through a 5 or 6 day COVID protocol period. We'll even see if he's good to go next week, because the Chiefs are in Denver next Sunday. But because of this game being on a Monday afternoon, he might only get 2 or 3 days of practice. So it could actually be his first game as a Chief November 1st against his old team and Adam Gase and the New York Jets. So that's a fun storyline potentially if we get it in a couple weeks. But as far as Bell and what he brings to the table, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had a fantastic season. He just hasn't had the big plays and the touchdowns that everybody was expecting him to have. And so some people have looked at from a fantasy football world, and they're like, wait a second, what's up with Clyde? I don't think this changes, guys, anything for Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this Chiefs offense. What might change and what's exciting about Bell is, one, he comes in, zero risk on the contract. It's a one-year deal. Even with incentives, it's about $1.7 million, so you're not putting much into the salary cap implications there. And I think he's going to be a third down back, a filler role at Darrell Williams, who's their number two running back now with Damian Williams opting out, a guy that can protect in third down, a guy that can be a receiving back on third down. And the particular area where he might help him the most is goal line situations. So as good as Clyde has been, he's got -3 yard rushing around the goal line with the fourth most goal line attempts in the National Football League. So they need some help there. Bell's a little bit bigger back. I believe that's where he helps Kansas City the most.
Yeah, this is Alex Gold, radio host over there at 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, our sister station over there at KCSP. You get Le'Veon Bell, and despite losing to the Raiders, I think everybody still looks at it and goes, well, it's Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, it's Tyreek Hill, it's yada, yada, yada. There's so much talent on that roster, and they're so damn good, and they came so close 2 years ago, and then they break through and win it last year.
Is there even a point for you guys over there where you realistically panic or wonder aloud if they'll even get back to the Super Bowl? Because this team, Alex, and this may be misguided, they just, even in a loss, I look at them and go, well, they'll play better next week. Do you ever worry over there in Kansas City about this team?
As long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, right, and Andy Reid's still the head coach, it seems very difficult to find yourself in a spot where you are concerned. But I will say this. Tonight's game suddenly is bigger than even people would have had on the schedule before, where it looked like it was going to be 2-5-0 teams. Great showdown. And instead, we've got 2-4-1 teams. And the reason why I think some concern could set in and panic tomorrow in Kansas City, if the Chiefs lose two straight, you say, why are you freaking out? Well, you start looking at the AFC. You know, you have the tiebreaker over Baltimore, which is nice. You would lose the tiebreaker on the Bills, and now we see what Tennessee and Pittsburgh are doing. They play each other head-to-head, but the Chiefs don't play either of those teams. And with only one bye week, as we know this year, in the AFC and NFC, I think tonight's game is more important than we would have thought, maybe even with them being both 5-0 at one point in time, just because of that bye. So I think, you know, from the you know, the fan perspective itself, you could see some panic set in if they lose two in a row, despite the schedule easing back up and clearly the Chiefs going through their toughest portion of the schedule at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, not to mention being tied in the loss column with the Raiders, too, there on the AFC West. You mentioned, too, I mean, a week and a half ago, we looked at this game as one of the better Thursday night games of the year. Now it's an early Monday game, which is just weird, and both teams are coming off of semi-disappointing losses. How do you think this matchup plays out? You started the interview by mentioning Kansas City's defense, which was not good against the Raiders this last weekend. And the Bills' offense didn't really click against Tennessee, so they're clearly going to try and get back on track. Just how do you think the matchup plays out between them and Buffalo?
I believe it's pass rush for both teams. I mean, you have a Bills team throughout much of this season that has struggled to get to the passer. The Chiefs have actually been pretty good, except for last week against the Raiders, getting pressure on the quarterback. Can they do it just rushing four without having to blitz? And that's Chris Jones, that's Frank Clark. That was their biggest problem last week. So I think if they can get pressure on Josh Allen, it'll certainly help out the secondary. I mean, this is kind of football 101 type stuff. If they can get pressure, it's going to help out a secondary that has been good this year, but nobody actually thought they were a top five secondary in football, which is what they were the first 4 weeks of the season because of the pass rush. So I think it comes down to that. And then there's no Sammy Watkins tonight for Kansas City. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, and he kind of has become the nice check down and safety blanket for Patrick Mahomes. Whenever they needed 6 or 7 yards on a third down, he was there in the middle of the field. When the pocket broke down, he was there for Mahomes. And so they don't have him tonight. Who steps up? Is it going to be the second-year guy, Mecole Hardman? Is it going to be a guy like DeMarcus Robinson? So those are the two areas I think that could swing tonight's game. I do like Kansas City, though, guys, to win this one tonight, because you've got a couple extra days to get ready suddenly if you're Andy Reid. And out for bye weeks, even though it's not a full bye week, Andy Reid is about as good as anybody in the National Football League. So I think they have the same type of performance that they had against Baltimore a couple weeks ago. This team plays up and also plays down to their competition. I think they play up to the Buffalo Bills and get a win.
So I'll get you out of here asking you this, because we're super big degenerates. You like them like 5.5 points better than Buffalo? Or
I like it. No, that's unbelievable. I can't believe the Chiefs are 5.5 point favorites.
Right.
As I say that, though, I said on the show today, so I'll stick with it, of course, I do think Kansas City scores their highest point total of the year. I like the over in this game, if you're really asking me. 42-28, Kansas City.
Dude, I love it. Alex Gold, 610 Sports Radio over there in Kansas City, does a great job on KCSP on Twitter, at Alex Gold. He's one of our favorites in KC. Alex, thanks for hopping on, man. Enjoy that game in just about an hour and a half, and we'll have to catch up with you down the road.
Fantastic afternoon football.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Alex Gold of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, our sister station over there.
This is so weird, man.
It's
having a 2 o'clock game on a Monday is so weird.
But cool?
It is. I mean, look,
I'm not
going to
complain.
Doesn't
it feel like a big NCAA tournament game or something? Like that same vibe? I mean, you're excited, but...
Was it any more weird than a Tuesday night game or Tuesday
afternoon
game?
But at least the Tuesday
game
started in like, it was a standalone, and it was a 4 o'clock, 4:30 kind of start time.
Mm.
Having a game at 2 is...
Are you really bitching about having an NFL game at 2 o'clock right now?
I'm not bitching. The only complaint that I have, and a listener sent it in, and they can't change it, the only complaint I have is, why can't we flip the games? You know...
Well, you know why.
I know why they can't.
You know
TV contracts. ESPN has a primetime window.
Oh, no. Well, that's probably
the
reason.
I wish they could have done a trades-offs of, hey, can we get Kansas City, Buffalo in primetime and put Dallas, Arizona in the middle of the afternoon?
I was more leaning the one logo versus another logo in a bigger window.
Oh, yeah. No, that, no.
And it's probably TV stuff.
No, yeah, because ESPN has to have the primetime window because they're Monday Night Football. So if you get a game that's ever rescheduled on Monday, it has to be played earlier, like we saw with the Kansas City New England game that was started. But that one started at like 3-ish. That one started at semi-normal.
I thought that one started at 4.
It was a little bit later.
It was like an hour and a half before.
It butted up against the start of the Green Bay-Atlanta game.
So they pushed that a half hour
right,
or something.
Yeah. And now you get it at 2. I'm not going to complain. I mean, it's great. But I feel for the people that have, like, you know, actual jobs that maybe you're going to miss a little bit of this game because it is a really good game.
Well, I just saw on NFL Network that Buffalo Bills were posting on their social media as like a basically take off work for the rest of the day letter.
Get out of work thing.
To whom it may concern, blank, you know, fill in the name here. Please let this person off of work early today for important reasons.
Well, but let me ask you that because I stream. I don't have cable.
Uh-huh.
I can watch any game anytime, anywhere if I have service.
Yeah.
How many people listening right now, probably despite what their job is, on the road or staying at home to work, are pulling this up and having it on the side anyway?
I think most people are probably in that spot now.
Right? Isn't that pretty normal
now? Where
you
can watch on your phone or your iPad or whatever you're carrying around.
Yeah.
You can figure out a way to do it.
I'm going
to
go against you too. I'm not weirded out. I'm so used to this just weird schedule that like it's normal for me now. So if you tell me it's a Monday at 1 or 2 or Tuesday, I just shrug my shoulder and say, yeah, because of COVID.
I will say I agree with him on this being a big game. Just in the short-term sense, I think, for both teams. Like, for Buffalo, they look dominant, and, like, they had taken a clear step over their first 4 wins and then a ginormous step backwards last week against Tennessee. Not a bad loss by any stretch of the imagination because Tennessee is one of the few remaining undefeated teams in the NFL. But all of a sudden, if you lose back-to-back games, I think that makes you ponder a little bit. And again, not that a loss to Tennessee or Kansas City are bad losses, but I think they need a prove-it win, if you will, of we're ready to compete at the highest level in the AFC, and we're going to go beat Kansas City and show you we can do it. And you're never going to panic about Kansas City because they have Mahomes. They just added Le'Veon Bell. Like, they're going to be there in the end. But I think a lot of this, too, can come down to home field advantage situations where you'd be 2 games behind Pittsburgh and Tennessee. You'd be a game behind Buffalo. You'd be a game behind Baltimore, even though you have the head-to-head. And you'd be tied in the loss column with the Raiders, who just knocked you off last week in the AFC West. So I think both teams eventually will be fine whether they win or lose tonight. But I just think there are ramifications in the short term that make this game really exciting.
All right, we got the NFL whip round coming up at the top of the hour. We'll go down to every football game over the weekend, and we'll do that. We got a lot more to get to as well. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. It is 12:44 on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. One of our P1 splinters says, I'm a mail carrier. I listen to you guys on radio.com app, and any games I want while I'm walking, delivering the mail on the AirPods.
You got to figure it out. A lot of people saying they're going to dual screen it. You're sitting at your desk or sitting at home in the office. So, yeah, people will figure it out.
If I wasn't doing sports media at all,
I'd be watching this game. Whatever.
And I was like working at home on a laptop or something. Sure. Yeah, I'd absolutely have my phone charged and it'd just be right next to my computer on my desk with the game going.
I think the only, and I don't want to negative Nancy this thing because more football the better, and I'm gonna watch it.
But here it comes. He's gonna negative Nancy this.
The only part of it that I don't like is that this is a good game.
Yeah,
and it's being played at 2 o'clock on a Monday.
But these people on the East Coast would tell you to shut up.
Sure. Sure, they're fine with it because it's 5 o'clock on the East Coast.
They think they get screwed most of the time.
Sure, but the West Coast is better than the East Coast. We all know that. That's just facts. No need to debate it. And that's my only bummer is that you throw me like a rant, like the Kansas City New England game without Cam Newton being played early on a Monday. Like, whatever. Kansas City's probably going to win that. And if it was Dallas, Arizona, I wouldn't really care because, you know, screw the Cowboys. And Arizona's kind of fun to watch, but whatever. I'll watch it. I only get bummed when it's like a should be a primetime game and I think would get a large TV rating number. But little that's the only bummer I can find.
But see, here's where the problem lies. There's a very real possibility, as Alex Gold just told us from 610 Sports Radio, the Chiefs could show up and we could have a Ravens Chiefs game part 2, and that game was not fun unless you were a Chiefs fan.
Yes.
It was largely a blowout.
If they're locked in and engaged.
If they're locked in, and Buffalo is a damn good football team. They played very poorly. I know it's easy to look at the Titans play well and go, well, time off didn't bother them. Did New England look good this week?
You know, Buffalo didn't look good. You can't tell me you think the Titans realistically are like 25 points better than the Buffalo Bills. I'm not buying that, right? Yeah. So yeah, there's a time off factor. Maybe we'll get a better Buffalo performance. I don't still worry about their defense. I totally like Alex's play there on the over bet. But there's a very real possibility the Dallas-Arizona game is actually more entertaining.
It could be.
Because neither team can stop each other, and it comes down to a field goal at the end.
Yeah, talk about overs, man.
Are you betting that over?
I might double up on the over tonight.
They're both the exact same number. They're both 55.5.
Yeah, the only concern I have, not that it affects NFL teams that widely, is that the weather isn't supposed to be great, I guess, in Buffalo tonight. It's like kind of cloudy and rainy, and you know the weather will be fine. The game's in Dallas, right? I think it's in...
It's in D. Yeah.
It's in the D. So at least you got the dome factor there. But
they have a little hole at the top.
They do. I might double up on the over tonight. Give me a lot of points. I'd be all for that.
Yeah, more points the better for me. Yeah. I like that too. Just don't screw me like you did Chiefs Ravens. You remember they got right to that number?
Yeah, and then they missed a PAT. Butker missed a PAT and a field goal and totally screwed us. That one pissed me off. I actually think it would be hilarious tonight too if Dallas is to lose. Not only because it's always funny when Dallas loses, but adding to the point that the NFC East is still going to make the playoffs, and that would leave the New York Giants one game out of first place, and Washington one game out of first place.
Mm. There you go. The NFC East.
The NFC East, baby.
So bad.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Before we get to the NFL whip around, I wanted to get to this story because I don't know if we will have time later on. Did you see this story from New Yorker staff writer Jeffrey Toobin?
I did see this,
who also works on CNN. If you ever watch CNN, you're probably familiar with his face.
He's a legal analyst.
He's a legal analyst, yeah.
He had some role in the OJ case, if I remember correctly. I think that kind of got him some notoriety, but he's been a legal analyst for them for a long time.
So the New Yorker suspended this guy for an incident which he reportedly exposed himself during a Zoom call among employees of the magazine NWNYC Radio.
Oops.
Toobin called it an embarrassingly stupid mistake. Full on genitalia right there in the Zoom
just
camera.
Right in front of the laptop
just
camera.
Stood up and there it is. There's all of Jeffrey Toobin.
I wonder if there's anybody else that has gotten in trouble in this regard. This is just kind of a modern 2020 issue. Now, there's a whole nother side conversation of what prompts you to like stand up and then take it out. Is that like something
maybe he was
people do on a regular basis?
Pantsless.
Maybe he was pantsless.
A lot of people are like wearing basketball
commando
shorts and then wearing jacket and tie.
Fair point. Maybe he just got up and walked out of the room.
Thought the camera was off.
That could be the case because I don't, I'm not usually just sitting around the house and think, I'm just going to take it out. I'm not watching a football game. I'm going to take it out. I'm sitting on the couch. What they're like, that's not something you do on a regular basis. So I have that question, but I also have seen like there was one. A video that went viral last week of a second grade class that was on Zoom and their teacher got like disconnected from the class, but it continued to film. And so there was like 20 second graders that were all just in this Zoom by themselves with no teacher.
Just talking.
And the conversation they had with each other was hilarious. And one of them was like, you guys know the principal can watch this. They're recording. We got to do the right thing. Like their back and forth was just go search that out. That was hilarious. But have you guys seen the new Snickers commercial?
I was waiting for you to be done because I was going to remind you last night I saw it and I was
hilarious.
Rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, the guy walks out. They have a couple over for dinner and he walks out to his back patio in whitey tighties and a t-shirt. And he's like, all right, I'm ready. But the couple is there. He's
it's
like,
a nice dress shirt up top and he's in whitey tighties. He goes, oh, I thought this was a Zoom meeting.
I thought we were doing a Zoom get together with the friends. I didn't realize they were coming over.
Oh, man. This reminds me of that time that Joe almost got suspended when he started working here because he came in with no underwear.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was a really awkward moment for everybody, but Joe got past it.
And then they're like, man, look what he's packing. Keep him around. I mean, we could suspend him, but I mean.
Oh, God.
I don't think anybody was saying that, Joe.
No, I don't think that.
Joe, I don't think they were.
Nah, just not in your meetings.
Nice one-on-one meetings, huh?
Yeah, so be careful if you're on Zoom meetings, which is all the rage now. Everybody's got to Zoom it up with people. If you're not wearing pants, just remember that.
Just wear pants.
You're not wearing pants. Also wear pants.
Yeah. Wear sweatpants, wear basketball shorts. Just don't have it showing. There's no reason for it.
Was the journalist like, oh, that was a filter I accidentally put on the Zoom meeting?
Anybody ask him his legal advice on what to do here? Probably not, right?
Do you keep her job? I mean, if we did that, would we keep our job?
He hasn't been fired yet. He's just been suspended because he's claiming it was, excuse me, it was a mistake. I just made a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Just happened to accidentally show you my junk.
Just
okay.
Shook it around in front of the camera.
All right. Hour number two. We got the NFL whip around every Monday at 1. Let's go around the National Football League and hear all the calls. We'll do it next. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.